Welcome back to another episode of Already Friends. This is Kara.
And this is Allison.
Today, we're having on a major guest. We have on Morgan Zanotti, the co-founder and president of Primal Kitchen. You guys know the brand. It's one of the biggest health food brands out there. They got their start making high-quality, flavorful condiments, sauces, and dressings free from dairy, added sugar, and canola oil. So you guys have definitely seen it on the shelves. I know I have it in my kitchen. I have it in my fridge. So we had on Morgan to talk all about her entrepreneurial journey, starting this company, selling to Kraft Heinz for $200 million, managing all that, managing being a mom, health, wellness, all the things. And it was a great interview.
We want to get to the interview as soon as we can. So we're just going to save our catch up for next week. We also have a December 1st Patreon coming out and we'll share some backstories there on what's been going on in our lives the last few weeks. So we'll just jump in to peaks of the week and then bring Morgan on.
Absolutely. Love that. I'm going to say my peak is I'm in Tokyo right now. And my first day here, I landed at 7 a.m. and had a full day of exploring and had a little solo day. And it was just so nice. I got to walk around Tokyo, no AirPods in, like I mentioned last week, just taking in the sights, the sounds. And we are big fans of solo travel, as you guys know, but it just does like totally open you up to meeting new people, having things happen to you that genuinely would never happen if you're traveling with somebody else or in a group. So just, I got a coffee, walked around the National Botanical Park in Shinjuku. And like this guy came up to me and took a picture of me on his film camera and he's going to send it to me. I had an omakase dinner where they have like, they give you the different sushi rolls. I was sitting by myself and then met this amazing girl next to me. Her name is Dana from New York. We had an amazing conversation, like enjoyed dinner together. And I'm like, it was just such a nice day. And it was just a good reminder that solo travel is so rewarding, and getting past that, I don't know, that anxiety or the worry of being alone is always just so, so worth it.
I love that. I'm so glad you got to do it.
Yeah. What was your peak?
My peak of the week was finding this audiobook on Spotify. If you guys have Spotify Premium, it's included. It's called Love Money, Money Loves You Back. And I started listening to it when I was awake, but then I was like, you know what? What if I just play this while I'm sleeping like five nights in a row? Because maybe it will just download into my brain. And I kid you not, the last like 5 days, like so many opportunities have just been rolling in. And I like got hired to do this client project and I'll like wake up and we just like sold a podcast Bible and didn't even say anything or post anything. And more people will subscribe to Patreon and someone will buy the Netherlands guy that I like haven't posted about in 2 years. And I'm like, where is this coming from? I love this. So I'm really trying to work on my money mindset right now and feel validated that it's working, I guess.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, I'm gonna check that out because that sounds like a good way of living your life right now.
Yeah, I'll definitely link it in the show notes for you guys too.
All right, listeners peaks?
Listener peaks, yes.
Okay, Nicole said, I saw Ina Garten, aka Barefoot Contessa, in Chicago for her memoir book tour. Okay, iconic. We actually talk about Martha Stewart in this episode, and Ina Garten is very similar. So I kind of love that for you.
Oh, this one from Bailey's so sweet. She said she thrifted clothing items for our baby boy that have been on my radar for a while.
Hannah said, I booked a 10-day trip to go to Alaska with my husband for next summer. Okay, goals. What an amazing trip that you guys all get to have together. So fun.
And Lindley said, feeling really inspired on my fitness journey and nailing down a solid workout routine. Congratulations. I am hoping to manifest that for myself here soon as well. We need to do a winter arc episode because I need to dial in some new goals for sure. So thank you for that reminder. As always, send in your guys' peaks of the week every Monday on our Instagram story box at Already Friends Podcast.
All right, getting into today's guest. As you mentioned, Morgan Zanotti is the co-founder of Primal Kitchen, a groundbreaking brand known for its clean, flavorful condiments and pantry staples made with real food ingredients. I know that's why I came to love it, seeing it for the first time years ago. I loved that it was real food, real ingredients, and we need more of that. Morgan launched Primal Kitchen in 2015 alongside her co-founder, Mark. The brand quickly expanded to over 70 products and was acquired by Kraft Heinz in 2018 for $200 million. Now, Morgan is working on starting a new company, Drinkway, a sparkling protein water. We talk all about that, all about her journey, traveling, entrepreneurship, health, wellness, and being a leader in this industry. So without further ado, here is Morgan Zanotti. Hello, Morgan. Thanks for being here.
Thank you guys for having me. It's so good to be here.
Now, you're a busy woman. We are very honored and flattered that you took the time to do this. So thank you.
Now, I'm honored you're calling in from Mexico and Tokyo to be on the phone with me. So don't even.
Well, we know you have stories to share about all of your travels. So first, before we go into that, could you tell the listeners like an elevator pitch about who you are today? And then we'll go into who you were before.
Sure. So I'm Morgan, co-founder and president of a company called Primal Kitchen. So we made the first avocado oil condiment, really. There was avocado oil and kind of nothing except a bottle when we launched Primal Kitchen. Grew the company to 50 million, sold it to Kraft Heinz for 200 million 3.5 years later. Stayed on. Thank you. Worked at Kraft Heinz for 5 years and now I'm in an advisory role. But yeah. And I had a whole, you know, life before Primal Kitchen, although it's hard to remember life before kids in Primal Kitchen. I'm a mom of three. I have three boys, 2, 4, and 6. I say I have 4 under 41 if you count my husband. I live in Southern California. I surf, I play tennis, go to the farmer's market. I don't know. That's me.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Chicago, in the suburbs of Chicago.
Okay, a fellow Midwest gal. We love to see it. I'm from Omaha and Kara's from St. Louis.
I love it. Midwest people unite, the best people from the Midwest.
And we always say the good thing about being from the Midwest is, although it is exciting, it does encourage you to go see the world because you're like, well, what else lives beyond the Midwest? So that is a big part of your story. You went to South America first as your big abroad trip. Am I correct?
I guess not really. I mean, I went to camp for 8 weeks when I was 8 years old in northern Wisconsin, where we 8 weeks, they put me on the bus with my big trunk. And I went to the camp where we did archery, needlepoint, tennis, badminton, canoeing, water skiing, you know, the whole thing. And then I kind of got the travel bug from there. I did that for 5 years. And then when I was 12, I was like, can I go to Colorado? So I went to camp in Colorado. And then I was like, can I go to Costa Rica? And then I did a backpacking trip in Costa Rica. And then I was like, can I go to Europe? It just kind of kept pushing the boundaries. Yeah. So I studied abroad in Australia in college and just, really had the travel bug. But yes, after college, I moved to South America I quit my first job. I have an accounting degree from the University of Colorado, Boulder, graduated, got my first job as an accountant. Actually, that's a lie. I got my first job as a recruiter. I did it for 2 days. I quit and then took the accounting job. I got two job offers on the same day. One to be a recruiter, took the recruiting job because it came with a BlackBerry. You guys are probably too young to know what a BlackBerry is, but it was quite phone before the iPhone came out. So I took this job just literally because it came with a BlackBerry. That was where my priorities were at 22. And then I was an accountant for 9 months. And then I was just really bored. And I was like, I'm really bored. I want to move abroad. And my cousin had studied abroad in South America and I had never been. So I convinced my best friend to move to Argentina with me. It was supposed to be a 6-month trip. We met these girls from Ireland and they were doing a whole gap year situation. And I had a job from a friend. This friend was doing research for this political author. And it was I made maybe 12 grand. But I lived in South America for 8 grand. So it just worked. So my 6-month trip became 2.5 years that I was everywhere by bus from Mexico to the southern tip of Argentina, Colombia, Ecuador. I lived in Costa Rica. I had a house in Sayulita, Mexico. I mean, I was everywhere. I learned how to surf in Mancora, Peru. And then surfing became my obsession. Got my yoga certification in Hawaii at the end of it. Spent all my money. I spent as much money in Hawaii in 4 months as I spent in 2 years in South America. Came home. I was okay, what am I doing? It was 08. Everyone, I tell this story. People are always like, oh yeah, but times are so hard right now. I'm like, listen, I had no job in 2008. There was no internet. There was no social media management. I didn't even share my pictures traveling online. Instagram wasn't even invented yet. There's a lot of, it's easy to make excuses. You guys know, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy time, right? 08 was a pretty rough time to be graduating college or looking for a job. The market had crashed. It was recession, whatever. But yeah, do you want me to pause there? That was a lot. Too many questions about the South America trip. You want me to keep going and what happens next?
No, feel free to keep going.
Okay. I bought the domain name surfyogaecuador.com and I was going to just open a surf yoga retreat in Ecuador. I was looking for land in Ecuador, trying to figure out, can you buy anything here? But anyway, I came home, had like a dose of reality, was like, what do I want to do? Really struggled. Like all my friends had jobs. You know, I was like living off 12 grand a year, going out with my friends in Chicago. I'm like, you guys pay this much money to take a cab from like the Gold Coast to Wrigleyville? Like, what is going on? People are buying. I remember people were buying like, I mean, which I think at the time it was like $195 jeans from Anthropologie. And I remember thinking like, I can't live like that. Like, this is insane. Like, I have literally spent like, you know, I traveled, like wore the same clothes for 10 months in South America. I'm like, what are we doing? You know, I just had really bad reverse culture shock and a whole lot of just like quarter life. What am I doing with my life? I don't belong anywhere. Like, I don't really want to be a vagabond forever, but I also don't really want to do this corporate thing. Like, who am I? So it was just a big, I really just did my 20s right. Like a lot of soul searching, a lot of just internal struggle that's just like so dramatized because you're 20 and everything just feels like it's the end of the world, but it's really not, right? I just really did my 20s. So I lived that experience. I ended up going to work for my friend's sister's company, like part-time. She needed help on the accounting front. She was selling like backpacks. So I was like helping her. And then I got a job as an account executive at an advertising agency. And I did that for 2.5 years. I managed the Frito-Lay account. I really kind of like cut my teeth there. Like I grew the business. I really like, you know, kind of like got in a small business environment that was really fun and like proved myself. And then I was living in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the time. And I was like, oh, I surf Lake Michigan in the winter. You have to wear like a hood and booties. And I remember thinking like, just like, don't think this is for me. And then I came to California. I had never been to California. I came out for a weekend and I was like, oh yeah, okay, I'm moving here. This was in like December. I moved in March. Like 3 months later, I was like, wow, bye-bye. And I really have kind of never looked back. So yeah, at 28, I moved to California, kept my job that I got at the advertising agency. And then, you know, I was working like 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. And we had like half days on Friday. So I would be done with work at like 10 a.m. on Friday. So I was really living the dream. But no one else, I didn't have an office to go into. And I was in this new place, right? And I didn't have a lot of like friends. And I was just kind of like, okay, I want to do something else. I had a huge obsession with my own health and wellness and just health and wellness in general. I loved this brand Kavita. So I went on LinkedIn, found this guy who was like a VP of sales at Kavita and reached out and was like, do you guys, are you hiring in marketing? And they were like, oh, we're actually hiring a director. Do you want to interview? So I interviewed with a woman named Amanda, who came over with me to Primal Kitchen after. But she still works at Primal today. She's like the smartest, most entrepreneurial, strategic person I've ever met. But anyway, she hired me at Kavita in a job I had really no business doing, right? Like I had been on the agency side for 2.5 years. I have an accounting degree and here I am in this like director of marketing role at Kavita. And I only lasted there like 9 months. It was crazy. It was like super crazy. And then I met Mark there, who is my co-founder at Primal Kitchen. And he was like, hey, I want to launch this food company. Do you think you could help? And so I left and Mark and I launched Primal Kitchen. That's the story.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so many thoughts, but we have an advice segment every month and literally we just recorded it. One of the questions was, I want to travel and figure out my life, but my family is convinced it's going to ruin my career. And I immediately thought of your story because do you feel like you would have gotten to where you were if you had not taken that chapter of like doing things that make literally no sense for your career to just do them?
No. Also, like, I don't know. Does the world need another like person who like follows the same like interesting to do interesting, unique things and build your personality? Like, I was talking to this woman that I mentor at Primal Kitchen about resumes. And I was like, look, if you have what you lack in experience, you need to make up for in personality. So like, you can be interesting in a few different ways. You can be interesting because you chose to go a certain predestined route and you could crush it at that route. You could like do the assistant brand manager role, then be the brand manager, then be the, you know, director, then be the vice president and do that. And that's a great path, right? But if that isn't your path, you can also just become like a really interesting person and people like are attracted to that too. So no, I think that's ridiculous. And I like got into health and wellness because I met a woman when I was backpacking in Colombia and like that changed a whole trajectory of my life. So I just don't ever think that like there is no linear path. And like doing something different or gaining some experience is all just like an investment in yourself, even if it's not just like the strict investment, the regular investment. Our first hire at Primal Kitchen was my best friend from childhood, one of my best friends, Anna. And she was working at like the University of Minnesota and her parents thought she was insane coming to work for Primal Kitchen. It was like this startup. They're like, what? $10 mayonnaise? Like the food industry is like so unknown then. This is 9 years ago. didn't have the cachet it has now, right? And then, like, you know, 3 years later, the company sold for $200 million and Anna had like a huge bonus. So it's like, I don't know, like your parents' number one job in life is to like, what? Make sure you're safe. Like, that's really their biggest priority. Like, I don't think parents are normally ever going to be the ones who are going to be like, take that risk. Like, veer from the path, you know, like, unless you have really like free spirited parents.
Yeah. And it's hard because it's everything's so different. It's not like everyone knows, you know, so.
Well, part of growing up is just like deciding you want to do something and then realizing like, oh, I'm a fucking adult. I actually don't even have to ask my parents about this. Like, my parents haven't paid for anything for me since I was like 18. So I wasn't like, I was funding my own trip in South America with my saved waitressing money and my research. Like, so I had agency over my life. Like, I remember a friend of mine was in Colombia at the time, or no, in Brazil at the time. And we were going to meet up and go to Rio for Carnival. And her parents called my parents. They were like, are you going to let Morgan go to Carnival? And my parents were like, let her? Like, what are we going to do? Like, tug on the leash and tell her she has to like come back home to Chicago? Like, she's 23. Like, you know, you got to like, at some point, you just do more and more things with less and less validation from your parents. And you just slowly become an adult. That's kind of like the step into adulthood. So yeah, you just got to go for it. It's your life. You get like one shot at this. It's what, like, if we're lucky, 90 years, one shot at this trip around the sun. Like, I don't know. What do you want to do with it? That's kind of how I feel.
I think the number one thing people say about travel is like, oh, it's so expensive. I could never do that. You have to have so much money. And all three of us have proven you can travel extensively on a budget. Could you go into how you made that possible and share any travel tips or accommodation ways that you made?
I mean, we were in South America, so, and this was 15 years ago. So I don't know that my tips are like super relevant, but I think like if you want to go to like stay at some fancy hotel and be like an Instagram blogger, like you're probably, that's a different budget. But I was like living in hostels, or we would, if we found a place we wanted to stay for a while, we'd like rent a local apartment, which was super cheap too. But you know, we lived in hostels for, it was like $8 a night. That was pretty much like what we paid. And there would be like six bunk beds in a room, and we met people from all over the world, and it was just like fine. And sometimes we'd get a private room, and then just me and the three girls. At that point, Anna had gone home, and it was me and three girls from Ireland. You know, you just have to go somewhere where the dollar goes far is what you have to do. Yeah.
And then make sacrifices, like staying in a hostel with six people.
And you be scrappy. It's kind of like, you just do it. And you also don't need to travel for 2.5 years. You could go. Also, I mean, this is like all the rage now, but I signed up for credit cards to get the points to buy my ticket to Hawaii. So I used miles, because if you're traveling like that, you can, like, I was just looking today. If I booked a Mexico trip on, we're going to Punta Mita with the family for spring break. And it was like, I don't know, like 50 or 60,000 miles to go for spring break, but I'm booking it because they're so expensive. It's just going to use my miles, right? And then they, like, this trip opened up to December 7th to 14th. It's totally off season. The same flight, LA to Puerto Vallarta, is like 7,000 miles one way. So it's like $14,000. So, like, it is not that you have to spend money anyway. Like, sign up for a Chase Sapphire card or an Amex or whatever you need to do. I mean, I'm not saying, I paid my bill every month. Okay. So I'm not saying to go like spend money on your credit card that you don't have, but I'm saying that's how I bought my ticket to Hawaii. And now there's all these, like, you know, we've all seen them, right? I'm sure we all follow the like points guy or the whatever. There's people who like make a living teaching people how to like sign up for credit cards and maximize their points. But I was doing that 15 years ago. I was like, get this.
Yeah,
I get 100,000 miles if I spend $12,000 in 3 months. I don't know. You just have to do things like that.
No, you have to take advantage, because there's so many ways to do that. And it's like free money. It is, like, as long as you're being responsible, like you said, of course. Yeah. Okay, going back to the moment that you started this company, when you launched this with Mark, when did you realize that this was going to be a big impact? Like, was it scary at first? I mean, like you said, the food industry is, it's so normal to us now to have all these whole food ingredient, you know, things like this. But how scary was it starting out?
It wasn't scary starting out. Like, I think, you know, I took like a pretty low salary, like all things considered at the time, but Mark like really took a chance on me. And I started as just like a marketing consultant making $50 an hour, and then like grew into my like president role, if you will, and built the team out. And the thing just grew fast, and I kept stepping up to the plate and taking on more responsibility and building out more and more of a team. And it just kind of like went like that, I guess. I don't know. It wasn't, Primal Kitchen wasn't scary ever. It was fast. We sold it 3.5 years after we started it. So it was fast and it was fun. We had an absolute blast growing Primal Kitchen, mainly because I hired like friends and mentors and people who had hired me in the past. So like still to this day, the people running Primal are like friends of mine from, it's fun.
Well, even just like looking at the food industry as a whole, was there a moment in the beginning where you're like, how is this not a thing yet? Because I feel like that's why it grew so fast. Because I remember the first, I remember the moment I saw that mayonnaise. I'm not even kidding. I'm not even making this up. For the first time, I'm like, wait, what? What's it made with? If it's not with avocado oil, like what's the regular one? And I remember being like, how is this not a thing already?
Yeah. We were pretty early in the seed oils conversation. So this, we sold the company almost 6 years ago. So this was like 9 years ago. And it was like pretty like grassroots. Like at that point in time, like paleo was the hottest diet going. People were doing Whole30. Like it was a little bit of a different time. It was much more grassroots, but it was kind of like us, RX Bar, Siete. There was a bunch of brands that all like launched at the same time. We were all at like the same little trade shows and we launched at the same time. And we all kind of grew up in the paleo sandbox, if you will, but we didn't market paleo brands. We were smarter than that because I feel like what goes up must come down in the diet world. So we were very intentional about not wanting to be like paleo, paleo. We just hung our hat on like, hey, we don't want canola and soybean oil. It's in freaking everything. It's like the high fructose corn syrup of fat. How do we get this added there? What categories in the grocery store have the most canola oil and soybean oil in them? And how do we like eliminate that? And then also just really like sugar. Like there's sugar in every mayonnaise when we launched our mayo. We were like, oh, geez, just like don't really think the mayonnaise needs the 2 grams of sugar. Like, why don't we just leave that out? And then our unsweetened ketchup was a big unlock for us. So I feel like it was just early days, you know?
Mm-hmm. Seeing the opportunity and taking action on it.
Yeah. But it was never scary.
On a personal level, for all those roles, you said you just kept jumping into more roles. And at the position previously where you're like, I don't know if I should have got this job, but I got it. How did you face imposter syndrome during that time? Were you feeling imposter syndrome or you're just like, I'm rolling with it?
I am still feeling imposter syndrome. I am like the queen of imposter syndrome. I felt imposter syndrome every single job I've ever done. But for some reason, I like persevere anyway. I guess I'm like dumb enough or ballsy enough to apply for the job. And then I get there and I'm like, oh shit, like, guess I gotta fake this one till I make it again. But like, I'll never forget, we sold Primal Kitchen and my boss was this president who had been a Heinz executive for 17 years. I mean, he's like so smart, like one of the smartest people I've ever met. And he was like, listen, Morgan, no one knows what they're doing. Like, that's the truth. And like, I really needed to hear that. You know what I mean? Like, I think I had pretty bad imposter syndrome, you know, being in corporate America, but I'm also just like, I guess there's that. And then there's also this just reality of like, well, I am who I am. And I'm a big fan of just like authentically showing up as who you are. So I never like try to pretend that I'm better than I am. I'll show up in meetings and be like, I clearly didn't put this deck together because I'm not smart enough to do this. But And also, I have no idea what acronym you just said. And also, like, I was on a call once and they were like, okay, Morgan, do you want to take pen now? And I was like, I'm sorry, like, what are you talking about? And they're like, take pen? I was like, no, no clue what you're talking about. They're like, oh, that's like when we hand the PowerPoint to you and you do the edits. I was like, could we just say that? So I've been like a big fish out of water in corporate America for like 5 years after the acquisition. I was a fish out of water. I had never grown a company from zero to 50 million. I had never sold a company. I'd never been a marketing director. I had never worked at an advertising agency. Like all these things were just always first for me. And I don't know. I think you got to like own that and not try to like pretend that you have it all figured out. I think that's when you get in trouble. I think it's good to just be like, I'm here. Let's figure this out together and have people help you. I saw this interview. It was like, you know, the Martha Stewart like documentaries going viral or whatever on, I don't know.
Something I've been diving into and learning more about are hormone disruptors and how there's over 1,000 disruptors daily in our lives. Things in our food, our water, the air we breathe, our clothes, our skincare. All of these things mess up our hormones and our bodies also go through natural hormonal changes. But with all of this, it does not mean that we have to suffer through it. And the good news is that there is a product out there to help. It's called Hormone Harmony and they are a sponsor of the show. Hormone Harmony is a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for all women who are struggling with PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon, and there's a reason that it has over 30,000 positive reviews, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. So if you resonate with any of these symptoms, any of these issues, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code alreadyfriends at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code alreadyfriends to get your Hormone Harmony and start to feel more like yourself. Again, alreadyfriends at happymammoth.com for 15% off. Thanks to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring the show.
I saw this interview and someone was like, oh, Martha, like, you know, have you ever had imposter syndrome? And she was like, what? She's like, no, you shouldn't even have a name for that. Like, I don't even know what that is. And so now, like, I literally think about this as my Roman Empire. I think about Martha Stewart just being like so confident in her life that she's like, no, at no point. I feel like Martha Stewart's like, no, at no point was I ever like, I can't do this. Martha Stewart was like, I got this. And then when it goes wrong, she's like, oh, well, no shit, moving on. Like, I feel like that's the attitude I'm trying to embody for the rest of my life. But no, imposter syndrome is just like, it's normal. We all have it. Like, roll through it. Be like Martha Stewart.
Yeah, be like Martha Stewart. I love that.
No, you have to find this clip. It's like hilarious when they ask her. She's like, what? Imposter syndrome? Why would anyone even come up with that name? That's ridiculous. Like, and this is a woman who was like doing male things in a male dominated like banking environment early in her career, right? Like a total fish out of water. And she was just like, fuck all y'all. I got this. Like, move out the way. Like, I feel like that's the energy we need. So I'm trying to bring more of that into my life. Wish me luck.
Whether you're doing it terrified or you're doing it confident like Martha Stewart, you're going to get to the same outcome, hopefully, anyway. Yeah. So it's like, it's going to give you so much more ease and comfort.
Yeah.
True. Was there any obstacles that really stick out when growing Primal Kitchen? Or are there any products that you guys launched that just have like any crazy stories of like, you don't even know with like how it came to be?
Yeah. I mean, it's the food industry. It's like the Wild West. God, we launched bars that were like breaking people's teeth. I sent out like a coupon code dentures for like 50% off the next run. Stop. People were sending us dental bills. I mean, we couldn't make mayonnaise once for like a couple months. That was probably like the biggest, like Mark and I were like, oh my God, how are we going to figure this out? But every time they went to make our mayonnaise, the emulsion would fail and we'd like dump it down the drain. And then you think like, okay, you can try again tomorrow, but like you can't. The lines are for the next 4 weeks. So then if you're lucky, you can try it again like on a Saturday, but you have to pay overtime for an off day and for people to come in on a Saturday. And it's like a whole thing. So we like really struggled with that for like, oh gosh, that was like 2 months, a year into launching Primal. We were like, what is going on? Why can't we make the mayonnaise? What do we do here? Yeah, but then we figured it out.
And at this point, were you guys funded?
No. So we never raised money. Mark and I, well, shouldn't say we never did, but Mark and I owned 95% of the company when we sold to Kraft Heinz. Mark had a supplement company that was profitable and a blog, you know, it was maybe doing like 10 million in revenue with 2 million in profit or something. We funneled like 2 million of those profits into the start of Primal Kitchen.
That's incredible.
And then
wow.
We raised money a year before we exited, but it was like, we only sold 5% of the company. It was a really small round.
No, that's amazing. I feel like that's the things that people need to hear is like, you don't need to have XYZ. I feel like a lot of people, like you said, make excuses and so many insane, like there's so many ways to make money in this world. There's so many ways to be successful.
Yeah.
You don't need to be a trust fund or have all these excuses in your head for why you can't make your idea a reality.
No. You know what I did growing up a lot that I still do now? And this is like weird woo-woo stuff, but I had like sleep anxiety. I remember getting in bed and I would like count my hours. Like, am I going to get 8 hours of sleep? Like when I was young. And then, I don't know, my parents must have traumatized me or something. It's always all our parents' fault. But I remember thinking like, I would lay in bed and then I started doing this thing where I would just be like, okay, I'm just going to like envision my perfect day or like I'm going to envision what my life looks like in 10 years. And I would like make up these crazy stories in my head. And then I would like drift off. And I've done that like still to this day. Like the other day, I was like, I haven't been doing that a lot lately. I need to like really like get into my head here and like laying in bed and like envision. Because I feel like I remember when I took the job at Kavita thinking, oh, if one day I could just be a marketing consultant like Amanda, that would be great. And then I was. And then I was like, if one day we could sell Primal Kitchen. And then we did. So then I'm kind of like, you got to be like careful about where you set your dreams. Because like if you don't, you might achieve them. So set them high enough. You know what I mean? Like don't set them too low and then it's kind of depressing. So I'm a big fan of that. I have no idea if it played into anything, but That's my insomnia manifestation tip for you.
Oh no, I definitely believe in that stuff too. And funny you say like to set it higher, because I had a reading with a spiritual mentor and I was telling her about my goals and she was like, go higher. What are you doing? Why is that the dream? Like dream higher. And then after I reflected on it for a month, I was like, no, you're right. That was not very high at all. Like we place our own ceiling so low. But then when you look at someone else, you could be like, oh, they can do that. So why would you not think that for yourself?
Totally.
When things are happening at Primal Kitchen that cause stress in the business, how did you separate not taking that home with you so much? Because I feel like as an entrepreneur, that's like the hardest thing is to separate your identity from a work sense on a personal sense and not make it take over your well-being.
I kind of didn't. I don't think I separated that much. That's a whole lot of... I'm not one who's like... I'm not like an ER doctor who can like go to work and then compartmentalize, really. Having kids helps because you just are... You are so much more in the present moment because someone's like... You don't even want to know what's going on over here with like three kids at home between the hours of 5 and 8 p.m. with like a 2-4 and a 6-year-old. You kind of like, your like hair's on fire. So I think that helps. But I was 32 weeks pregnant when we sold Primal Kitchen. So I didn't have the benefit of having that distraction. Like there were months, like our first year, when I remember my husband would go to work and come home and I would be like literally in like my nightgown at like 8 p.m. I hadn't gotten dressed for the day, like not because I was ready for bed, but because I like hadn't brushed my teeth from that morning because I was working on Whole Foods paperwork or God knows what else. And I did get super sick in 2016 because I think I just like, we were a year into the company and I think I just like burned the candle at both ends for too long. And that was like a wake up call. I hired someone like 3 weeks later. I was like, okay, I think it's time. We can hire one person. Like, this is crazy. I hired Anna. Yeah. But no, I think that's hard. I think finding things that just like make you wholly present, like surfing, tennis, those are things for me, like being with the kids, like that you're just like really engrossed and you don't have the like capacity to wander. Like, I think that's very helpful. And then just like getting a grip on the worrying. Like, I'm a worrier. I live in the future. I'm like more of a visionary, which just like, that's just like such an can tend to lead towards anxiety, right? Like living in the past, you end up with like regret, shame. I have like none of that. I'm never in the past. It's gone. I'm like, whatever. I don't even remember what happened. I'm like, I'm so far down the road that I would tend towards more of like an anxious personality. But I've gotten, I think as I've gotten older, I realize like, I'm like, just stop. Like the other day I was like talking to my 6-year-old about it and I was like, are you worried? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, you know what I do when I worry? I was like, pause. And I just like tapped his head. I was like, pause. Okay. We can just like turn that off. Like this isn't serving us. And so I've just gotten better at like recognizing that I don't need to like let it like enough of this already.
Mm-hmm.
That's helped.
It is. It's all in your head. That's such a good reminder. Going back to you being a mom, I saw a TikTok and it was like the best thing ever. And it was like, work for moms because they are grounded in reality. Like they know that work can be insane, but they also have like a 3-year-old that just ate a battery and like they need to go to the hospital. Like there's just like things in life that ground us and make us realize that, you know, using the wrong font on a brochure is like not the end of the world. Is there anything that any big takeaways from balancing it all with being a mom and growing this incredible company?
Oh, everyone always asks me like, how do you like the balance it all? And I'm like, nobody's balancing anything. Like that is a bunch
there's
of
no balance.
No. Just like some days you're going to like give more. Some days, weeks, you're going to have a work trip. And some weeks you're going to like blow off work because your kids are sick. And there's just like nothing you can do when your kids are sick, right? And so you just kind of like get through it. I don't know, especially with young kids at home. I don't know. I think there's no balance. And I think it's more just like important that you remember like, okay, I need to still like get my workout in and I still need to like take care of me and don't like lose sight of that. But it's so hard. It's so much. It's like even, oh my God, we were like on the phone. I have this like therapist that I've talked to since I was like had a meltdown in my mid-20s when I came home with my quarter life crisis, David. And we were talking to him the other day. And he was like, oh yeah, it's just like so disappointing how marriage takes work. And I was like, shit, like, you know, like, yeah, you know, we just think all these things are just gonna like come easy. And it's like, no, it's just like, it's actually so disappointing that like, you actually have to like try if you want to be healthy and you have to put effort in if you want to make something happen. And like, that's the truth. So It's a constant balancing act. Getting off social media is a big life upgrade. Like the doom scrolling, like I'm a fan of social media. If you're going to put content on social media and engage with people, I think it's a really cool place to be. But if you're not, get off there. Like either put yourself out there or delete the app. Cause like that is just, this is like, I don't know. I get way too addicted. I'll like delete it. My cousin posts all my stuff on social media. Then she'll call me and be like, oh, can you go in? There's all these comments. And I'll like put it back on my phone. And like, it's crazy. Just the mind suck. I deleted Instagram when I was pregnant with my third, like 3 years ago, and started reading. I only read self-help books my whole life. Started reading like trashy romance novels. And I swear it's like the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Why like, did that happen to me this year? Avatar.
Oh yeah. Little Sarah J. Maas up in there. I mean, I read 215 books the year I was pregnant with. I had really bad pregnancy insomnia. So I'd like be up from 12 to 4 a.m. reading something. But I'm like, oh, this is so much better. So much better than scrolling social media. It's just so much better for everything. It's great. So I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, we literally did an episode 2 or 3 weeks ago about phone addiction and how normalized excessive screen time is. So I love that you brought that up as a tool to be mindful about not getting in your way when you're trying to accomplish these big goals. And then to circle back, you really take me as someone who's like doing it live. Like you are not waiting until like the moment is perfect and it's all planned out accordingly, because even coming on the show, like I just commented on your TikTok and was like, hey, want to come on Arty Friends? And you're like, sure, here's my email. And then we emailed and you were like, I'm bad at email this day, this time. Like, you're just like, let's do it. Let's go for it. And I feel like with so often people like wait until it's like perfect and it's like the right time and the email's all formatted out. And like, obviously this is me pitching you to come on, but I imagine in your career, there were so many moments where you could have hindered your success by waiting until
it could have been perfect. Like, oh, I need to get 3 years on my resume. Like, that's for the fucking birds. Like, no, like, move. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that there's some validity to that. Even right now, like, I'm launching a new drink. I'm launching a beverage, a sparkling protein water. So imagine like a full flavored sparkling water, a little bit of sweetness, but has 12 grams of protein in it. And I have not finished the packaging. I don't have formulations down. I'll probably launch in 6 months. I could have been like, oh, why don't I come on your podcast in 6 months when I launch my drink? But I'm like, I'll come on now. There's a really ghetto coming soon page up at drinkway with two A's, WAAY.com. Like the most ghetto coming soon page, you can enter your email address to find out more. But like, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like you kind of just, it's messy. It's real. It's happening.
But you're doing it. And that's the difference is people always want these things. Like, oh,
yeah, I feel like they have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I could start a company someday. I could be a mom someday. I could have a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the visualization process of this next chapter of your life? Like, what made you want to start another company? Because I'm sure the high of selling Primal Kitchen only lasted so long. Like, I feel like, or, you know, what was that next step like?
I mean, I stayed and ran Primal Kitchen within Kraft Heinz for 5 years. So it was like, that's like us, for people listening who don't know, that's like, I must have set some sort of founder record because most people sell their company and they're gone like 12 months later. So my whole team is still there 6 years later. I'm actually still an advisor on the business. I like love the folks over there, get along. They were wonderful to us. They're still wonderful to us and they've been a great partner for us. But I think I move when it's not 100%, but what I am 100% on is that like, I want to do something. So I've had the entrepreneur itch forever. I don't think that like goes away. So I have explored, like, even when we were running Primal Kitchen, I was like, I want to launch a baby formula that doesn't have canola, soybean oil, and all this maltodextrin. I'm buying baby formula from Europe. It's not even good. I'm like, what are we doing? I wanted to launch in my 20s, like a zinc sunscreen with astaxanthin. It's like a pink supplement. Anyway, I would like squeeze it into my sunscreen when I was surfing, but none of them were like, hell yes. So I think you have to wait until you have a hell yes. And you have to, if you explore a bunch of things, you're going to know when something like feels different. And when it feels different, then you just got to move, messy, fast move. So I think that's kind of like the point I got to where this spring I was just like, oh my God, I want to put protein in sparkling water. This is amazing. Why doesn't this exist? It's a no-brainer. Protein's happening. And then I was like, okay, I'm moving. And it's messy. And I like wish my formulations were done and my branding isn't coming together quite the way I wanted, but I'm moving forward. You know, we'll figure it out. But yeah, so I think for me, this next phase, I'm like not one who would do well just like not working. I love the food and beverage. I love this space. Like I love health and wellness and food and beverage. And so it's fun for me. So yeah, figuring out the next phase is just like, of course, I'm going to figure out the, you know, it keeps, the story keeps going. But there is a lot more pressure. Like once you've been an exited founder, like the pressure once you've had success is definitely like maybe internally, but greater. Like you might be a little bit more afraid to fail than you would if you didn't. You also know too much, like you know how hard the industry is. So it's like, oh God, am I really going to do this again? Like we knew nothing. We had no idea how hard it was when we launched Primal Kitchen. Like we're crazy, you know? So I don't know.
But it sounds like you're not letting that outside noise get into you. I love that, like, I love your attitude, your mentality of just like, we're just going to do it. And I'm not going to let these outside people tell me I don't know what I'm doing or that yeah. I can't.
And I'm surrounded by like amazing like people. Like my best friend here, Natalia, is like, she works for Primal too. She's like the most supportive human being on the face of the earth. Like I could tell her like every one of my deepest, darkest thoughts and she can just like absorb them and like love me anyway. And like one of my, oh, the woman, Amanda, who I mentioned earlier, who hired me at Kavita and then I brought her over to Primal. I like talk to her like 4 times a day and there's like nothing about my life she doesn't know. And she's one to be like, no, that is not an opportunity for you. And like, yes, this is a hell yes. Like I just am surrounded by a lot of people who like really give it to me straight and who like love me. I have great like friend network. My Anna, the friend I mentioned, I've known her my entire life. Like when we were in our 20s, like you guys, she moved, the one who moved to South America with me, we wrote a letter, like we were 23. We wrote a letter to ourselves about what we wanted our goals to be. And I gave her my letter and she gave me hers and we held them until this year. We both turned 40 and so I had her letter from 17 years ago and in my possession. And we like got together this summer and like read our letters to each other. And it was just like, you know, so I don't know. I think like, and I have had my share of like, you know, friends that aren't those deep friends, right? But having just like, I have a really good support system that like allows me to feel like I can do these things. I don't know, because I have a good support system, I guess. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, that letter story gives me goosebumps. That is an amazing idea.
Yeah, it was, you guys should do it. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Couples, friends, siblings, like everyone needs to write letters to each other. This is totally really good accountability.
Yeah. Anna and I were like, we got to write another one and then give them back when we're 50, like, which is so crazy. We're so old. But yeah, because we're 40 now. God, goes like, my family.
Let me aging myself. I think anything you want to say with like the protein kick, like anything that like really inspires you with that? Because we're both big protein girlies, like, and because I know that is like such a good, it's a good wellness trend.
Totally. I remember I saw a naturopathic doctor 12 years ago and she was like, okay, I want you to eat protein every 2 hours. And like, mind you, 10 years ago, we were all like on the master cleanse. We were putting like cayenne pepper and maple syrup in water. We were doing juice cleanses. We were doing Whole30. We were doing paleo. It was like, what can you cut out of your diet? Like how little of a list can we give you? And so what ends up happening when you have that much restriction is you walk around all day obsessing about food, right? And this naturopathic doctor was like, eat protein every 2 to 3 hours. And I remember being like, I can't even eat this much. Like the mind shift change from like trying to incorporate more of a nutrient every few hours versus this restrictive like 80s, 90s, 2000s diet hangover that I feel like we've all been living through for the last few decades was just like insane how much it affected even just like my mental health. And then I think like, look, I think anyone would be naive. I've been like super bullish on just Ozempic and where these GLP-1 medications are going. I'm like fascinated by them. I think it's like the craziest drug that will be invented in our lifetime. The two of the companies have oral medications coming out in 2026. And, you know, muscle loss is a big issue. And I think protein's definitely like having a moment. Everything that the football team was doing in the 90s when I was in high school is what is back in style now. The fashion, the creatine, the whey protein, the whole thing is like cracking me up. I feel like the 90s are back here in a big way. But I also like dug into the research and there is just like no more researched nutrient on the face of the earth than protein. It's insane. It's like higher protein breakfast, you're less hungry throughout the day. Higher protein, it helps anti-aging. Higher protein, easier to lose weight. It's just like, I don't think anything's as well studied as the higher protein intake or just protein intake in general. So I'm very much a believer in it. And then I'm also just very much a busy mom on the go. Like probably for breakfast and lunch, I'm eating like a leftover chicken maple sausage from the kids' plate. And I have like matcha with creatine and collagen in it. And then I come home and have leftovers for lunch. And then we have to make a whole thing for dinner. And there is like no way I'm getting 100 grams of protein unless I'm like adding some extra stuff on the side. And I'm sick of like, I'm sick of smoothies and shakes. I did it. Mm-hmm. I drank every day at work for like, I know every day I had like a Tara's Whey smoothie with like blueberries, spinach, almond milk, chocolate protein powder for like a decade. And I can't do it anymore. So I'm excited to have like another option to up the protein without the calorie or fat intake that goes along with a lot of the other options.
Yeah. Please tell us more about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like imagine like a poppy. Do you guys drink poppy?
Mm-hmm. Love poppy.
Imagine like
love my sparkling sodas.
Yeah. Imagine like a poppy with 12 grams of clear whey protein isolate in it. So the flavors are like lemon, lime, grapefruit, orange. They taste more like a Fanta or a Fresca. They're very like flavor forward, fruity. You can't taste the protein. And there's 12 grams of protein that's like dissolved fully in water in there. So yeah.
Yeah. You're a genius.
Yeah. I mean, again, how you said, how is this not a thing? Literally, how is this not a thing? Sign me up for the newsletter. Sign me up as an ambassador. I want to be promoting this. Like, well, you're a busy woman and we know that you have to go pretty soon. But any like advice that you have for someone who's out there that has that idea that's like, why is this not a thing? That like they have that itch. How do they get their first few steps out there? Are there any like quick tangible steps that you think they could take to get that ball rolling?
I think like figuring out how to test your product with as little money and time and it as possible is like a good place to start, because everyone will tell you it's a great idea, but like, will people actually like buy it if you're at the farmer's market, or will, if you like set up a booth at like LA Fit Expo and tried to sell something, like would people actually buy it? I think that's like a good litmus test for if you have something. And then I'm just like a big unit economics freak. So like you have to have a good gross margin on day one. Economies of scale is like a little bit of a farce. Like set yourself up for success and make sure you have a good upfront margin and run a scrappy business and see where it goes.
I love it. Thank you so, so much. We ask all of our guests this final question. To you, what makes a good friend?
I think a good friend is like a feeling, you know, like, you know, you have some friends who you might call like a good friend, but you're kind of always feeling like insecure, or like you're sometimes invited, you're sometimes not. And then you just have like some friends where you're like I was my best friend out here that I was telling you guys about, Natalia, the other day. She was like saying, I don't know, like, I think maybe I could feel like that. And I was like, no, I've heard every stream of consciousness thought of yours for the last like 10 years. And I could never, like, I know you so well. I just like, I know that's not true. And she was like, oh, you're right. So I just think a good friend is just like a good feeling, someone that you just always feel good about around. That's what makes a good friend to me.
Yeah. You don't need to get into the minutiae. You can just tell.
Yeah.
Whether,
and you might even on paper have like a good friendship, but there's like a little nagging something back there. Like pay attention to that, I think. Or it's fine. You're going to have some of those friends and you're going to have other friends that are like your ride or die friends.
No, yeah. I think that you hit the nail on the head. Morgan, please plug yourself. Plug where people can support you, where they can find you. Shout out the Whey URL one more time.
Sure. The Whey URL is drinkway.com with two A's. So drink and then W-A-A-Y. I have an Instagram account that has like old photos from 9 years ago on it that has 4,000 followers that I'm converting. So that's drinkway on Instagram. And I'm just Morgan Zanotti, Z-A-N-O-T-T-I on Instagram and TikTok. Yeah.
And then everyone can buy the drink in hopefully what, 6 months?
Hopefully 6 months. I'll be selling on Amazon and maybe getting some like Whole Foods distribution. We'll see.
Incredible.
We're manifesting it for you. Not that you need our help, clearly.
No, I do. I need all the help I can get. This shit's hard, ladies. I'll take it all.
Well, we commend you. If anyone can do it, it's you. Yes.
Well, you guys are
sweet. Thank you guys.
Well, thank you. So good to meet you.
So good to meet you. And thank you guys for listening to another episode of Already Friends. We'll catch you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Okay, wait, really quick before you go, if you want a chance to be the Arty Friends Listener of the Week, we have something for you. Leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And for bonus entries, there's so many ways to support our show. Share about us on your Instagram story, engage with us over on TikTok, post on our Facebook group, join the Patreon page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Make sure to send that rating and review to our Instagram page, Arty Friends Podcast, and we pick a new Listener of the Week every Wednesday. We'll send you a $10 Visa gift card if you win, just as a way of saying thank you, to buy you a coffee, buy you a sweet little treat, whatever you want. Thanks again, you guys. We appreciate you so much, and we'll catch you next week.